Thank you, Katya. I feel like after that introduction, I should read in a very dour way. Hello. Thank you so much, Katya, for inviting me and for picking me up at the airport and for the apple and the cookies and all the hospitality. I feel like I had to fish out my only sports poem in this book. And it's not gonna do justice. It's bowling. It's my bowling poem. And it's called Ode to Margie. It's about this guy who goes to who falls desperately in love with a waitress at the bowling alley. It's from his voice. Ode to Margie. Ah, Margie, I glued this ass trophy for ya out of all the plastic asses I could find in the house from my kids' Barbie dolls in the basement while the wife fried eggs upstairs. League night! Out of my way, it's my turn. Wait up, wait up. Now to business, bowling. Feet together, ball to nose, right foot, left foot, right, left, slide, release, spin. The constant form of marble earth arcing the right gutter toward the middle path, felling all 10 red slit-throat soldiers. No remorse. Oh, fuck, you look good in that tube top, Margie. All of another draft. Mary and Joseph, I'd love to whisper you a joke that'd die between your thighs. I've heard the Interpreters of Happiness on Channel 5 and was unimpressed. But you, oh, bless my soul. Tonight I will wait under stars that lit the hill at Calvary, stars that form the body of Christ. Somewhere a baby crying, and me on the hood of your cavalier, tottering drunk as an 8-pin, prepared to be struck or spared. Okay, this is the first poem from the book. This is my scarecrow poem. They won't all have intros like this. Canvas mouth. Acetylene dawn. Cold button eyes blink first time. Tongue cool, heart charred in its nest. The moon sinks. Canvas mouth shifts in gumboots on a broomstick spine. Back, scream crows. He hears breath in his tweed vest. A plane burrs over a cow 2 pastures down. He shakes from the pole into a heap, gathers hunting shirt and mangled jeans, hands shaking. Nervous system, new flesh dress, lightning in the nails. He looks down at the torment, skin's a loose fit. And this loneliness, am I old? He steps calm as a dream toward the road, head high, past the awful birds that pecked his straw every day since he was made. This is my... Now I have to think of a way to introduce them all the same way. This is my clown poem. It was from a series of like 40 or 50 poems about clowns, and I think this is the one that made it, or maybe there's one other one. It's called August and the Arsenic, and the only thing you need to know by way of context is that his arch nemesis is called Moom. August showed Moom his genitals. Moom mistook them for money and spent them. August showed Moom his heart. Moom rode it till its legs broke. August showed Moom his mind. Moom saw vacancy and moved in, tore it apart. August asked politely, screamed, served him a notice. Moom rolled a cigarette with it, blew smoke out August's ears. August needed to evacuate. 2 minutes before his show, the answer. In the mirror where his face had been, a jar of arsenic. He drank it and waited behind the curtain, still as his stilts. When the audience had quieted, he commenced the standard show, but his limbs were bent on innovation. His legs leapt, his feet sidestepped, when the idea of death occurred to his body. His joints seized, his elbows and knees twitched a kind of dance, and he fainted in a bow with wonderful concord as ladies gasped and gentlemen gaped until they understood, stood, clapped, and shouted, "Encore!" Nothing was reborn, and Moom grinned proudly from the upper stall. I lived in a Chinatown dive. Well, this one's called Hatchway. This is my Hatchway poem. I lived in a Chinatown dive with a stained glass door. Danielle lived across a barbed wire courtyard where I watched a pigeon choke and die. I had no curtains, so when I got home, Danielle hollered, hanging from the window of his paralytic mother. Lennon was his favorite Beatle. He knew the words to The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. "Johnny," he stammered, pissing, "this thing on my cock is growing." He limped, grinning, zipping his fly. When supper time came, the old cook came on deck. There was his shadow on the stained glass door saying, "Fellas, it's too rough to feed ya," tilting with a 2-4 Pilsner. So I let him in. I didn't like him. He had open wounds and couldn't eat. At 7 p.m., a main hatchway caved in. He said, "Fellas, it's been good to know ya." Canada Day festivities at the harbor. On our stroll along the crowded docks, you confided a fear of dying, and I made a joke of it, threatening to quit my teaching job and board a Navy ship. I meant to say, "Your beauty will fade before we finish our walk. Nothing will remain. But so what? I've watched you build armaments of charisma and adore you. I'm the same, though I would cross into another, darker country. Too much is made of quiet eternity, still grass, meditation. Give me these children fighting on the wharf. Give me these crowds of tourists with plastic flags, devouring bloody burgers and beer. Give me this crippled man yodeling about a youth he can't recall. Today depends on necessity. You pointed to the full moon over George's Island and said you were bleeding. You were never so pretty. Surely Rumi meant us to mistake the beloved for a lover for a while." An old friend. This is my poem about, I mean, it changed, but this is my poem about my dog that died. I have like an inordinate amount of poems about this dead dog. I have to stop writing them now. There's like 20. It's like not okay to have a collection of poems about a dead dog. I don't think. Or it's not okay for me to do it. It's called An Old Friend. You were a lover of persons hastening to secret places. You studied piano to make train sounds with your left hand. Whiskey made you dance with every girl in town. You cursed grammatical disgraces. You cursed my faces. You cut out all pics in the paper where a photographer's shadow appears. You called every number in the yellow pages that sold psychic gear. You sang me Amazing Grace over a cell phone. You cursed luck. You lived off the smell of an oil rag. You tapped till dawn on your memoir, The Epic of the Seminal Vesicles, under a halo of cigar smoke. With your phobia of beautiful things and your artless generosities, which might have meant anything, you looked the other way and whistled. You threw down your crutches and danced.